Okay, so we have extensively seen this little story here on Vav Amud Aleph, where there was this heretic who had sent the Caesarian coin, the Dina Kesarna, to Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. He said, Oive, what am I going to do? It says Yantif, what am I going to do? So he asked a Shaila, and the advice he's given is, well, you can avoid hatred by throwing it into a pit. And he says, I'm sorry, I think that's going to be worse. He says, no, I mean accidentally, right? Have it drop in accidentally into the pit. Okay?
Make it
look like an accident. Fine. Okay. That's just the pshat. There's a few things in the story though that are unclear. So the first one is what emerges from the Tur and the Rambam. If you read the sugya according to Rashi, so the feeling you get is, look, you should try to avoid benefiting from it. But what would happen if you can't? Right? What would happen if you can't?
You can't avoid it.
What?
You do business with them.
So it's not clear. Meaning it doesn't say anything. It just says try to avoid it. If you can't avoid it, so it sounds like, let's say you can't avoid it, or the guy goes and you couldn't throw into a pit, right? The guy was like, he didn't give it to you in a pit. He came into your house and he put a vase on the table, right?
It gives you a bike.
And it's and it's non-breakable. I don't know. It's not glass, it's metal. I don't know, right? Come up with a situation, right? Yeah. So the simple shot is, okay, so now it's mutter bana, right? Like, there's nothing you can do. Like, you're supposed to, like, what are you going to do? He gave it to you. You're not throwing it back in his face, right? You can't accidentally break it, so then it just sits there. But then, post facto, there's no reason for the asur bahana. And yet, if you look at the Tur and you look at the Rambam read this. They read the sugya as follows. You look at number one. And again, this is also in the Rambam. What does the Tur say?
So if it is impossible to not accept it, like basically, if it's impossible to have a situation where you don't take it, the kibul menu, so you take it from Goloyanebo. You're not allowed to benefit for it. But if you see that this guy is clearly not an Ovid, doesn't worship other gods, then it's fine.
This is the position of the Rambam as well. The Rambam in Perek Tes, Alach HaBeis, of Hilchos Avodah Zarah. Berek Tes, Alacha Beis. Vazur Shloch Daron Logoi Biyomeidom, Kenodel Loshen Amoda Bava Dezara Vena Ovda, Vechen Goy Shloch Daron Lishol Biyomeidom, Lekabenu Mimena. Right, so if you can't send a gift to a non-Jew on his holiday, unless you know he's not an idolater, and if a non-Jew sent you a gift on his holiday, don't accept it. Imchashish La'eva, and if you can't not accept it because of hatred, Not Lobafanav, take it. Vena Nenabo, Achi Yivad Loshaza Goyna Ovda Bava Dezara Vena Modeba. And the Rambam says, so wait to benefit from it until you know that he's not an idolater. So what's the problem with the Rambam and the Tur?
They disagree with each other?
No, they say the same thing. What's the problem with the Rambam and the Tur? And first of all, it would not be a problem if they disagree.
Why can't you benefit from it?
Yeah, right. The Beis Yosef just says, I don't understand this. If you look in the Beis Yosef in number two, right? Who is the Beis Yosef? Yosef Karo. What other important books did he write?
I don't know this.
Oh, come on. Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch, Kesem Mishnah on the Rambam, Beis Yosef on the Tur, Shur Afkas Rochel,
Orach HaShulchan, or...
Yes. And the Magid Meisharim, which is a weird book.
Did he also write Orach HaShulchan?
No, that's Rechiel Michal Feinstein in the 20th century. Both the Mishnah Berurah and the Aruch HaShulchan are written at the end of the 19th, beginning of the 20th century.
Yeah, I was just informed that the Mishnah Berurah apparently died.
If you'd like, I can give you the obituary from the New York Times.
I would love to see that, but I'm just mind blown.
What did he live that?
Have you read anything in the Mishnah Berurah?
Yes, it feels archaic.
It's so archaic.
Yes, Rav Aaron pointed this out. Rav Aaron said the weirdest thing about the Mishnah Berurah is that the guy wrote. He's a 20th century posek. 20th century. He literally was publishing a few years before Moshe Feinstein, right? And he does not mention electricity in the entire book. It's crazy. It feels like it was written in the 16th century.
Where did he live?
What?
Where did he live?
He lived in Europe in 1930.
Right.
Until 1930, I mean, something.
His town.
Rotten.
What?
Rotten.
Without electricity.
No, they had electricity.
Oh, okay.
I don't know how much electricity they had, but they were aware of the existence of electricity. There were trains. They could get places. There are stories of people who took trains. I've met people who
electric
went to the...
Electric trains? Trains ran on steam.
I have met people who went to visit him. Okay? Even when they were married. Like, he didn't die that long ago.
I mean, in his 30s, man. This is insane. I'm mind blown.
Yes. Yes. Okay, anyways. So Beis Yosef in number 2, he says, after he quotes Rashi and he quotes the Rambam of the Torah, he says, I don't understand what's going on here. The last line in the Beis Yosef says, V'kachem divrei Rashi, ulefichach yesh litmoa al Rambam. Said, I don't understand. You should, litmoa means you should be shocked, right? Incredulous about the Rambam. Rabbeinu and the Torah, right? Rabbeinu is our Rebbe because the Beis Yosef wrote on the Torah. He said, the Torah and the Rambam say, I mean, according to Rashi, right? Let's go back to Gemara, right? According to the Gemara, what should you do? The Goy gives you a gift, so what should you do?
You should
take, if you can't get rid of it.
If you can't, right, avoid getting the gift at all, so what does the Gemara say?
To get it.
No, what does the Gemara say?
You should accidentally throw it.
Right. Why? Why should you accidentally destroy it?
That way you won't go be Uzzel. No, you won't be Uzzel.
You accidentally destroy it so you won't offend. But why do you destroy it?
So you won't be Uzzel.
So you won't be happy.
Right.
So right? Does the Gemara weigh in on whether you should benefit from it or not? No. But is that really the issue?
No.
No. The Rambam and the Torah both say, what should you do? You should, you know, you shouldn't accept it, but if you accept it because of hatred, so then you should benefit it. But the Beis Yosef said, what does that help? Right? I mean, I don't know whether it's mutter or asur to benefit from it. Right? The Gemara is sort of open about that fact. Right? Open on that question. But what the Gemara is clear about is that what do you want to avoid?
No,
you want to avoid him being happy. Yeah. But if you take it, you don't smash it in a pit. So then what? What does it help? The Rambam and the Torah make it sound like, look, okay, you could throw it in the pit, or you could just hold on to it and not benefit. So what does that help? Now the guy thinks he successfully gave you a gift. He's happy. He's going to go thank his God. Right? What did it help that you're not going to benefit from it? The damage is done.
Right.
So we're not on the case anymore of whether it's beneficial for you, whether you can benefit from it or not. We moved away from that.
No, we're on the Torah and the Rambam read that Gemara as you shouldn't benefit from the gift. But the Beis Yosef said, how? The issue at hand is you don't want the non-Jew who gave you the gift to be happy. If he doesn't know that you're not benefiting from it, so what does that help?
Right.
Right? I don't understand. Like, what does that help? Like, where did the Torah and the Rambam get? And the Torah and the Rambam both what?
They both agree.
Do they bring up? Right, the Rambam doesn't even bring up whether you should avoid taking it. Right? Meaning he does. He says, you shouldn't take it. But if you can't avoid it, then keep it. Just don't benefit. That's not what the Gemara said. The Gemara said, take it and avoid letting him get benefit from it, right? I mean, destroy it so he doesn't think that you're happy, so he's not happy.
Right.
But if you accept it, right, it's like lahavdil, right? How often does someone give you a present, they think it was the best present in the whole wide world, right? And you put it in your closet and you never touch it again until you regift it, right? So in the meantime, you're... What? Everybody's done that before. Why do you do that? You do that to let the giver of the gift be happy. Right? You say, oh, thank you for this beautiful sweater. Right? And then you find someone else who wants a sweater and you regift it. Right?
Or you just throw it in your closet and never wear it.
Nachum, lesson of life. This is more important than even the sugyas we're learning. If you're going to re-gift, don't give it to the person who gave it to you. Don't do it.
I've had that
don't.
To me.
I'm telling you. Like, hey, don't do it. Don't do it. I'm telling you, it's a bad idea.
I had it happen with Shalach Manot. They gave us the same Shalach Manot that we gave them.
Yeah, that always happens. But, you know, but don't do it.
Even, like, they didn't even like, bother. They wrote, they shot our name. And
they're like, oh, I have your Shalach Manot. Can I have it? 1 second. Let me pull off that card. Cross it out. Let me. I'm just. Or just an arrow, right?
Yeah.
From Max to Nahum. I'm just going to put an arrow from Nahum to Max. Here you go. Enjoy.
Like the laziest thing. Or they like they tried to take different ones and they mix it. And like, you know, they use some of
the. Well, I mean, yeah, if you're giving Shalach Manos for the purpose of making yourself feel good, then you give Shalach Manos. That would be something.
Okay.
It's just rude.
So Beis Yosef says, I don't understand. Right? What does it help? That we already talked a little about whether it's us to get benefit from this stuff, but Beis Yosef said the real problem is it just doesn't help. If the issue is that I don't want the guy to be happy, right? Right, you know, your grandmother gives you a present, you pretend that it's the greatest present in the world, and then you re-gift it, right? Because you want her to be happy, right? You want her to be happy, right? But here, the guy, you Dafka don't want him to be happy. You want him to know you're going to destroy it, right? Or even by accident, whatever. You don't want him to be happy. What does it help if you take it and put it away in the closet, right? So he's going to be happy and you won't benefit, but that didn't solve the problem. Okay, so I gave you a few possible answers. Like I said, I'm not. I want to just sort of, you know, wrap up the sugya. I know you're not like super interested. I just have this thing in me that like I need to do the sugya justice, and even just little points we need to at least, you know, give them their due time. I understand. Look, I'll tell you. I had a machlokas years ago when I was in Smicha. So the first year of Smicha, on Friday mornings, we have this class, like survey of things you can do in the rabbinate. So like, it's not like the world's most intellectually stimulating class. It's like, whatever, it's a survey, right? Like they expect that some people, different things will speak to them. So like a few...
You just sit there and listen.
Yeah, like in a New York rabbi comes in, a guy who's like in some small out-of-town place comes in and tells you about the benefits of being an out-of-town rabbi. Some educators come in and tell you about being in Chinuch, you know. And then there was one...
Being an out-of-town rabbi.
Then there's always the hysteric...
Always better.
then there's the awesome one from the guy who's the... who works the U.S. Army as a chaplain. Those are always the best. Yeah, best stories ever. You're always like, great stories. I never want to do that.
Had the show in Denver.
Why would
okay, there you go.
I just thought, why would
the,
him be...
Not the point.
Huh?
Not the point. What?
No, I was towards this.
Oh, okay, good, yeah.
Why would him being happy make him want to pray to his God?
That's literally
that's
what
like
we're doing the whole year.
Idea no, but that, of literally
no,
everything.
But before it was regarding like us giving him something.
That's right. What do you do when you're happy? If you're a good from Jew,
you mostly give thanks. Yes.
To who?
Our God.
Okay, there you go.
Right, but when
first
we,
I would like to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for having brought me to this time.
That's every bar mitzvah.
Right, but that's what that's when
I'd
when
like to think.
I'd like to thank my parents.
Parents.
I'd like to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'd like to thank all the guests for coming, including the people from far away, including New Jersey. Ha 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 ha. You know, like the exact same jokes. Everyone does the exact same thing.
Was that a rip on New Jersey?
No, it's like you say this from like Staten Island. It's like right over the bridge, right? Oh, it's a different state. That's what I'm saying, because everyone does the same thing. Ha, you know. And my cousins who came from Israel, and blah, 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 blah.
My Saba and Saba.
Well, no, I'm trying to say that because what we were talking about before is when he receives something, yes, he's going to think.
Yes, but we talked about this. That is also, again, your grandmother isn't happy when she gives you a gift?
Something, yes.
Yes, okay, so the guy's going
to
be happy.
Good.
We're going to get to the question of whether this is true for all people, but in general, you can be happy when you give someone a gift. They accept it, you know. You now have a good relationship. Why was I bringing that up? Yeah, so I had a machlokas with a guy, because a guy came at some point, and he was talking about informal education, experiential education. And he wanted to argue that all of Judaism is experiential education.
Yeah.
And I said, no. I was like, listen, man. I'm like, you're talking to a group of smicha guys. We spend hours and hours a day poring over the technicalities of those kashrus. Like, do you think we're always having fun that's experiential? Like, no. Sometimes things in Torah are not, like, super fun. So sometimes I think it's important just to, you know, finish off the sugya because, you know, that's what we do. Right?
Someone said that?
Yes, I yelled at him.
Good, thank you.
Of course I yelled at him.
This person's a horrible person.
I'm just a horrible person, well, but he's definitely mistaken about Judaism.
I think the idea of what the guy was trying.
I don't care.
No, he insisted that there's nothing in Judaism that isn't experiential. Like, no, it's not.
Tiny people.
And everything has to be exciting. No, not everything has to be exciting. Things can be boring. It's fine. Things can be boring and important. It's fine. It's true. Okay, fine. Good.
You can attempt to make it interesting.
You can, but my point is, like, if it's not not super interesting, okay. Fine. Okay, the Drisha.
It's like 60s humor.
Okay, oh God. Okay, the Drisha number 3 tries to answer the question. What does the Drisha say? Danny, why don't you take the Drisha, number three? V'yesh l'yashev. I mean, he's answering the Beis Yosef's question. Again, you should just... I didn't process that you didn't realize the Beis Yosef, Drisha, and Bach are all just Peirushim on the Torah. So they're in conversation with each other. Okay? Now you know. Right? Now you know. Beis Yosef is Rebbe Sefkaro. The Bach is... I've mentioned before the Drisha I haven't, so I'll give you a pass on that. The Bach is... Rav Yoel Sirkis.
Okay.
And the Drisha is?
Is that Beis Yosef?
What?
Beis Yosef? No.
No, I just...
Talmud of the Torah?
He's not a Talmud of the Torah. He's a Peirush on the Torah, but who is he? What's his name?
Rabbi Drisha.
I thought we got a pass.
Meaning, you don't know it, so I'll let you... Fine, I'll let you Google it. How about that? Maybe you'll remember it.
I don't bring my phone to Shir because it's a distraction.
But for people who did, they might as well use it for a positive thing.
Yeah.
I left it in my pocket. I wasn't going to take it out.
Oh, okay, so who's the Drisha?
This is what I'm saying.
For a group of guys that are really into psychological studies on the impact of certain things, there have been studies on being completely not near your phone versus having
a phone addiction. Phone addiction.
Not the Drisha Institute. Wrong thing. Oh, my God. Okay. Okay, later on, you'll go look it up, okay?
I think everything addicting involves...
The Drisha, the Prisha, and the Sma. They're all...
I'm going to, like, fix the Wi-Fi so you guys have, like, negative Wi-Fi. I don't know
if that's possible. Okay, anyways. So the Drisha... Okay, the Drisha says, V'yesh l'yashev, yeah, go. V'yesh l'yashev.
Okay, yeah, so, yesh l'yashev, the omet, shikosov.
The ma shikosov Rabbeinu. Who's Rabbeinu?
The tour.
Yeah, again, these are commentaries on the tour. Yeah? Okay.
V'am I ifshar, loy sh'olo yikablenu chotso l'oyma.
Shagam li shamet mimenu.
That he gets.
Right, he says, if it's impossible not to accept it, meaning Ratzalomar, meaning to say, Shagamli he shamet mi menu. You can't escape, Vashlicho. Right, you can't escape and throw it away.
If Shalom.
Yeah, he puts it on the table. Right, it's not like it's not breakable. Right, I don't know.
One of those Yeti mugs.
Whatever he gives you.
Those are definitely breakable.
He gives you a metal Kiddush cup. Okay,
those
right? No, they don't.
My dad's broke
the metal mugs.
How did you break a metal one?
It fell from the cabinet. Well, it was like a.
It's metal.
It was a 5-foot drop.
It could be dented. It doesn't break. Oh, you could throw those things into.
Oh, that the, kind. Yeah. Okay.
The one with the stem.
It's like a stem. It's like
it's
like
stem a stem and the coast open.
No, I'm talking about like a washing cup. You know, like whatever.
Oh, Nutella cup. Like
yes.
A metal coast.
Anything that doesn't break. I don't know. He's just saying something you can't break. He comes to your house. He puts it on the table. Use your imagination, people.
Okay.
It's a challah board. It's a slab of wood. It's not breaking. Right? Oh, I'm sorry. It's Shabbos. I accidentally violated an issur d'oraisa and pushed it into the flame. You're not going to do that. Right?
Why
that'd be worse.
Open flames are big enough to do that.
It doesn't matter. You can't do it. Come use your imagination, people. He says, "E.F. Charlotte, right? You can't do it.
You can't do it.
Ella goy omid alav achi kablenu v'yene v'menu." Right? He's standing there
till he gets it.
Right. So what is the Drisha answer? The Drisha says, "Look, this is Psha on the tour." Right. The Drisha says as follows. Listen, two things. He said, "Of course you should try to avoid it, but if you can't avoid it." So then, remember before we had the Machlokes Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish?
Mm-hmm.
And remember we said that according to the Bavli, on the holiday itself, what does everybody agree to? It's usher, and you can't benefit.
Right.
So the Drisha says, the Torah isn't saying anything, Mechudash. He agrees that if you can avoid it, avoid it. What is he telling you? If you can't avoid it, and it's the holiday, so even with the guy standing over you, you can't benefit from it. Right, because if you paskin like that, so you can't benefit. Right, so he's standing there and he says, "Nu, I brought you." He probably didn't say "nu," but he says, "Look, I brought you this beautiful challah board, right? And it's Shabbos shechal yot be Christmas, right? Whatever, right?
Yeah.
That's a new book coming out. You know, it's like Shabbos. You know, Erev Pesach shechal yot be Shabbos. It's Christmas shechal yot be Shabbos, right? So now you can't benefit from it.
Merry Shabbos.
What?
Mary
Shabner. Okay, yeah, great. Shabner. Okay.
Mary Shabner.
Good. So the Drisha just says, look, the Drisha just says he takes this sugya and he puts it together. He said, yes, you should try to avoid it. If you can't avoid it, now what does that tell you, though, according to the way the Drisha understands it? And this is important. Right, we'll see this later. This will come up again later in the year. That what does he think? That what is there a limit to?
How far this extends?
What?
getting benefit.
The Yisra Eva. The Heter Eva.
Ah.
Right? I mean, what's he implicitly saying? He's saying, even though the guy's going to hate you, right? He came, you invite him for a Shabbos meal, right? It happens to be Christmas. He comes and he brings you a Merry Shabbos, like, right? Challah board, and he
like
says...
It's extending words like, there's a line here where you can't...
He's saying, look, I get that it's going to cause Eva, but too bad.
Eva
won't waive it, right? The Torah, according to the Drisha, clearly like doesn't hold like the Ritva, that Eva just wipes it away.
Seems like it goes pretty
like
well
the Tosfos.
Like Tosfos said.
Exactly, like Tosfos.
Like if you
correct.
Can...
If you can avoid it, great, but if you can't avoid it...
Doesn't mean be over.
Nothing you can do about it. Okay, and that's how the Torah is understood by the Drisha. Okay, what about the Bach? Okay, the Bach says... So first he quotes the Gemara, right? I literally just gave you the whole Bach, because this way, you know, if you forgot what we were talking about, right? He quotes it. Beperikama, he quotes the whole Gemara. Hahu mina'a, da-da-da-da-da, right? The same Gemara. Look down three lines. V'kaz of Arasham, v'zeh l'shonu, alma ilo matzi l'shtamuti d'lohavi le'eve v'shakil, avagav da'azul modeh. The Rosh disagrees. The Rosh says if you can't avoid it, right, this is like the Ritva and the Hava Min of Tosvos, right? Or Tosvos, what Tosvos suggests, right? That he said, if you can't escape, then what? Keep it, right? Meaning we saw this machlokas already,
right?
According to the Ritva and the Tosvos is noted this, but he's not convinced. He raises both possibilities.
Yeah,
he says Eva is in the end of the day a het there, and therefore he says try to avoid it. If you can't avoid it, keep it.
Eva's what means benefit.
No, Eva means hatred, right? Meaning if you can't avoid taking it because of hatred, so keep it.
Yeah, but keeping
the tour, according to Drisha, says what?
Keeping and benefiting are two different things.
Right, so he says, keep it. Okay, so at least keep it, right? And then he says, V'chein v'perek, in ma'amid, in shalav ha'shalav ludei aramez, b'schar mishum eva. And he says, and again, we might come back to this later in the year, the Gemara later on says that you're allowed, I don't want to get into the whole sugya, you can go to Regen Perks and see if you want, that, you know, certain cases you're not allowed to help a non-Jewish woman give birth, but you can if it's going to cause Eva. V'chein goes about goes maimini, al shem sefer atchum, v'chein goes about smar, v'chein goes about rabbeinu, v'im efshar lo shalav gen mishum eva, yikablenu mimenu. Right? You can keep it. So he said the Torah and the Rambam though say, okay, so keep the gift, but don't benefit. So the Mashma Khem Jakibla Minimishum Eva, Vagoi Kaazil Mode, Hilkoch Lo Yenebo. Right? So he says, why would you say that it's usher? Right? Why would you say, I mean, let's say you had to keep it. Right? According to the Drisha, you can. Right? You can't benefit from. He's standing there, Eva, too bad.
Right.
Right, according to the Rosh, you're allowed to keep it because of Eva. Right?
Right.
Now, let's say you've kept it.
But that's not benefit.
So why are you allowed... So can you benefit or not? So why would you say yes? Why would you say no?
Why would you say yes?
So why would you say you can benefit from it?
Can because the object
doesn't...
Because
anyway,
you have it anyways.
Right, but...
Yeah. Why would you say no?
Because then it takes on a form of a... What is that? Like,
perfect, and that's exactly what he says. Right, he says that what's the svar of the Rambam and the Torah? Why the Rambam and the Torah say you can't benefit? Because he said, what happened? If it was inescapable for you to keep it, that means, what are we assuming? The guy's going to go thank his idol because you accepted the gift, which means that this object is now the proximate cause for Avodah Zarah, which makes it Avodah Zarah. So the Bach said that's what the Torah and the Rambam are saying, right? But he says, Kasha, Dezumi Nayin Lahem. He said, look, I get the Svara, I understand it, but how'd they know?
How do they know? That you're benefiting?
Right? Meaning, remember, it's very easy to be a lamdan and say, oh, I understand the lamdas. I understand why you would say that conceptually. The Bach says, okay, I get it conceptually. But what's the problem? Minayin lahem.
How does
the Rambam the Torah know it?
Know what?
That it's Asur Bahana.
You can't just say that, even though...
He's like, it's very nice logically, but where did they get it from the sugya? Textually.
We learned that there was machlokas whether it's considered a Vodazar.
Okay, so where is it? So where does he get it? So he says. He says, V'dilma dafka dechdelo delo lahave ozil modeh yoiv lo reo rishlakish eitze shachlik lo reo v'fan of klachar yad. The chaven shiroa sh'ovad men el yismach. He said, maybe he's just giving you advice to throw it out. Right? To make it get to fall in the pit. So he won't be happy. Lo azul modeh, he won't thank his God. V'gam lo yeh lo eva, and there won't be animosity. K'sabur de ba'onis nafal miyadur, because he'll think it was an accident. Abel heichod yevshol olasos kein v'tzarach l'kabam yishim eva. Da'ash azul modeh minolish lo yenabo. But if you had to accept it, how do you know it's Aser? He said, you don't need to prove it. He said, that's the whole point. He thinks that if you cause the guy, the idol worshiper, to thank his idol because you accepted the gift, so it's Chefetz Avodah Zarah, yeah, similar to the position of Rabbi Yochanan earlier on and Reish Lakish on the day of the holiday itself.
How do we question the ruling of a rabbi? Like, how does he know that it's Aser?
Because halacha is democratic. I don't care who you are. Right, you got to prove yourself. You don't just say things. But this is not Catholicism. In Catholicism, there's a notion of saying things ex cathedra, right? Meaning you can just say it. The Pope says it, it's right. You can't do that. I don't care who you are. Yeah, I don't care if you're the Rambam. Right?
I don't care if you're a prophet.
The line that comes up in the Gemara, and the Rishonim love quoting it, is Afilu Yoshua Ben Nun. Even if Yoshua Ben Nun would tell it to me, I'd say too bad. Right? Right? Prove it. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you got a door. Right?
Welcome to but the that's objectivity just of Judaism.
Like, you know, if he thinks it's a Avodah Zarah, then...
Yeah, that would be a very subjective approach to Judaism, and eventually Judaism would fall apart.
You have to prove yourself. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're the Rambam. The Bach says he has to prove it.
Prove that he thinks that way.
No, he needs to prove. He needs to tell you. He said, "I get why you're saying it, but prove it. Show it to me in the Gemara. I don't care who you are.
No matter how.
I don't care how smart you think you are. Tell me why
this thing becomes a Avodah Zarah.
Prove any halacha from the Gemara. Don't just make things up.
No matter
what he's saying. He's saying me nine low. How do you know?
How weak the logic is.
What?
No matter how weak the logic is.
No matter how strong the logic is, you always have to prove it. Right. So what do we have so far? Let's just summarize and then I'll take in a second. So you have, we know from the Gemara that you should try to avoid it, right? So the guy won't be happy and thank his God.
Mm-hmm.
The Rambam and the Tur, okay, the way the Bach understands it is, look, try to avoid it. If you can't, so now this item is now Avodah Zarah, right? So the Drisha goes farther and says, and if the guy's standing over you,
right,
you can't benefit from it.
Right?
Because Eva won't be matir that. It's a cheftish of Avodah Zarah. Or it's going to cause Avodah Zarah. The Rush says you can accept it. It's not clear about whether you can get Hana from it. The Rush says you can accept it. Right? That's what we saw so far. Okay? But Yosef doesn't understand this.
Why can't he just trip and throw it by accident?
The guy comes into your house, he puts the nice challah board in front of you.
Right.
It's not breakable. It's a piece of wood, delicately engraved, but wood, even if it's delicately engraved.
Kevlar challah place, so you couldn't even take your AR-15 and just blast it. Just whatever.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's a Kevlar steel plate.
Come up with some case where you just can't.
It's carbon nanotubes.
And that's the
case. Like you said, there's ways to get out of everything.
Ways to get everything in.
You're inside of this room and give it to you.
Yes. Not if he comes to you, Shabbos, Shechalios, but Christmas, and says, and he comes to you, and he says, look, I'm coming, I'm making this our joint Shabbos, Christmas Eve dinner, I brought you a holiday-themed challah board, I want you to use it, so that this Shabbos meal will be, I'll be Yoytzei Zayin, my Christmas meal too, right? I want you to cut now, right? Cut your stupid bread.
My wife just bought me a challah board also, and she wants me to use it.
I'm the guest!
Oh my God.
Right?
You
come up with a case!
There's ways to get out of everything.
There's not. Yeah.
So, I have a question for you that I want to...
Is it directly relevant?
Yes.
Okay.
No, there's still ways to get out of
this. I remember learning something about Falasha Jews. Falasi? For Ethiopian, what is it?
Falasha, and Falasha. It's not directly relevant.
How is it not? I said that their kashru is not necessarily...
There's nothing to do with this.
But I said, you don't want... The whole idea is that you don't want to disrespect them. So wouldn't that... You don't want to disrespect...
Because... But if someone came who didn't keep the same standards of kosher as you, the answer would be try to avoid awkwardness, but if you can't, you can't eat the food. Same thing here. Right? Kavah Homer, it's about Dezara. Right? You can't say, I'm not going to, I don't want to insult you. I'll eat the not kosher food. Right? Too bad. Right? Be as nice as possible, but there's nothing you can do.
If eating is benefiting.
Oh, I have a question, but I'll ask that.
Okay.
I'm saying there's nothing inherently wrong with this state of things.
No, but there is. If it's going to cause him to go thank his God, then it's a Shabbat Zarah.
So can you give another idea?
No, you can't regift it.
Can you gift something to him?
No, we already said that. You can't give him a gift on his holiday.
That,
right. Okay. So Shulchan Aruch Paskins number 5. Asher Shlach Daron Lovid Kochavim Biyom Chagam. Right, don't send a gift. There you go, what Max just said, right? Don't send a gift to non-Jew on their holiday. LMK note, the Shaino Moto was Khamino of Dom. Unless you know he's not really an idolater, he's not gonna go worship the god, fine. The Khaino Kochavim Shishalach Biom Chago Daron Israel. And if the non-Jew sent the idolater sent you a gift on his holiday, Loi Kablenu Mimenu, don't take it. Im Khoshish Le Eva Mikablo Vizarkeno Bafana Bavor Lamakum Acha Klachariat. But if you have to accept it, chuck it in the pit. By accident. By accident.
What does that mean?
Oh,
what? What does mean
I
that
just
expression?
Threw this into the
what?
Pit.
Chuck it in the pit.
Throw it in the pit.
Ah.
Right, drop it in the pit. Right, this is in the Gemara. Right?
Oops.
I bought this beautiful glass goblet for you. But this is the easiest, right? It's such a beautiful goblet. I'm going to use it for Kiddush, and then, you know, you pour the wine, and oh, it smashed all the floor into a trillion pieces. Oh, chaval. Chaval al davdin.
You bought your car. Oh,
wow.
No.
It was so, like, 80s.
Smash into the gas tank by
I'm 80s?
It was, like, so 80s or 90s, I don't remember.
What?
Oh, SpaghettiOs. That was, like, I was, like, when I was a little kid.
Yeah, that was back in the day when they used to be into monkey business and shenanigans.
Vidyuk. Okay.
Say, oh my golly.
Oh my god.
And yonder.
Okay.
And yonder.
Very loose pants. And
and yonder.
What?
While wearing very loose pants.
And yonder. They
right.
Describe as
okay.
Friends.
Okay,
yonder.
Taz and Shah. Now, the Taz. Who's the Taz?
What?
It's in folk towns.
Guys, who's the Taz?
Now he's asking, I never remember.
Yeah. Taz, he's a parish on Shulchan Aruch, and his name is... First of all, the Taz stands for Terezahav, not Tasmanian Devil. Terezahav, and what's his name? Again, the Drisha I haven't taught you yet, so you can go look it up later and tell me. But the Taz is David Siegel.
Got it.
Oh, he's related to me.
What does the Taz
yes,
say?
Probably. He's your great-great-great-grandfather.
No, he's not.
Well, we're going to forget
this tomorrow. Siegel different than everyone else.
Well,
I'll tell you a secret. Taz didn't spell his name in English. He lived in
where did he live?
Poland.
Not
yeah, probably
in the English spelling.
Not if I
mean, you may not be related because
my family's from the northern tip of Lithuania.
Okay. Look, seagulls are Livium, so there's a lot of seagulls flying around, and they're not. They're somewhat related. You know that
seagulls.
Oi. Very good. Okay, you know that. Well, you know why Siegel is a Levy name. Not you. Don't answer.
Sigan Levy.
Skan Lekwanim. Skan Lekwanim. It stands for Skan Lekwanim.
Siegel. I get it. Cool.
It's an acronym.
Yes. There are certain Kohen names like Kohen.
Cats.
Ooh.
Cats, which is
Kohen
Tzedek.
Right.
Kazdan.
I haven't heard that one yet.
Kazan is Kohanim Shluchei Derachmana Ninu. Or Shluchei Didan Ninu.
Kazdan.
Yeah. Kazdan, yeah.
I know somebody that is a Kohen, that his name is called Friedman.
Okay, not everyone has a Kohen name. Or Azulai, which is a Kohen name. Which stands for Isha Zona Vachalala Lo Yikachu.
Nice.
Yes. But Levium names are either Levi or Siegel. Siegel is the classic one. Okay. I don't think
that's
so.
That's just a Levy name.
Right. That's not a Levy name. Okay.
I know.
The Taz, Reb David Siegel, says, Zgenu Befanav Labor. So first he quotes the Gemara. Again, I also gave this to you as an experiment. Not an experiment. I want you to feel like when you do things halacha l'maisa, this is basically how it looks, right? If you want to get a basic grounding and how something goes halachically, so you read the Gemara, you read the Torah, you read the Beis Yosef. Right, you read the Bach, you read the whatever, you read the Nosei Kelam on the Beis Yosei, the Torah. Again, if you're not doing this like in depth, but you want to have a basic grounding of how things end up the way they are, halacha, you read the basic Gemara. What?
I hate reading.
Oh, really?
You
have to
play the sad violin.
Whoa, geez. Whoa. Okay.
Wow. A little far on record.
Yeah, I don't know how we got there. Okay. And then you look at the Nosei Kelam Shulchan
Aruch. Yes, I am.
Okay, great. That's wonderful. So the Taz quotes the Sugya as well. Go 1, 2, 3 lines down, okay? Middle of the line?
Yeah.
Nearly. Right after he quotes the Gemara in the Rambam. He says, Nearly, the high befun of Koi. Ad the basrei, v'ratz alomar shemar b'funav shalom yanebo. Shainu shemar lo panim zoafos b'shas kabbalas adaron shenir menishal yanebo mekabel v'nei hayira. So he says, I have an answer. You know what the Rambam is saying? The Rambam isn't saying. The Rambam isn't saying the guy gives you a present, you can't avoid taking it because of hatred, and then, you know, he goes home happy and you go home and you just put it in a closet for the rest of eternity. You know what he's saying? He's saying, Eva, you try to avoid Eva if you can. And if you can't, what do you do? No! He says to cause hatred. He says, Lo Yenebo doesn't mean inconspicuously, it means conspicuously. Ratzalomer, again, Shemare Bifanav Shalayenebo, show him that you're not benefiting from it. Right, remember, like the Drisha, don't benefit from it, even if it'll cause hatred. The Taz, as we'll see later on, in case of parties, is going to say, right, the Taz's line is, why would you say that not going to a non-Jewish party is much because of Eva? The whole point is to cause Eva. Right, some of these Isurim, the point is to create distance between Jews and non-Jews. He says, you can't be matir because everything because of Eva. We want a shtickle Eva. Not a lot of Eva, right? A shtickle Eva, right? So he says, don't benefit conspicuously. What? The Hainu Shab... I don't know how good, well it's going to go over. He says, Shamar lo panim zoafos. Right? Instead of saying thank you, scowl at him. Right?
Really nice.
What scowl?
Someone do a good scowl. Ugh, you know? He's like, scowl at him. Right? Be angry. Ugh, you gave me a present. Ugh, I'm not using this. Right?
I'm not going to take this $50 million car.
They're like, oh, thanks, man.
Yeah. So, Bishad Gadar, Shiniri, Menashar, Loneneba, Bazem, Kama, Menea, Yira. Right? Show him that you're only accepting because I don't have a choice. Ugh, fine. I'll take your stupid holoport. Right? But I'm not going to benefit from it. It's going to sit here and rot. Right? Great idea.
That's a little,
it's kind of mean.
But yeah.
You should do it in front of him, like, oh, for a place to throw, you chuck it out the garbage can.
He says, Kamasha goes of a siftesh, Sheyomer lo besafa rafa, if it's not going to call us, b'chom makom. And he says, this will solve all problems. The ilumash and iskar b'mar sheyashlichenu labor. Said, because when the Gemara says throw it in the pit, lo yashayach el ba'omeh labor. He said, shockingly, dropping something in a pit only works if you're next to a pit, right? It's like, this doesn't work.
Really?
Yes, I know. The Taz is like, well, the Taz is, you know, explaining the obvious. He's like, look, you know, some people, you think it's really obvious, but it's not really obvious.
No, it's not.
Because sometimes people read the Gemara and they say, oh, the Gemara gave a certain advice. Oh, that's what we should do. So, like, there's actually a tshuva. I'm not kidding you. There's a tshuva by a modern posting. I won't mention his name.
Let me find a pit first and then we'll give
him. No, totally different case, right? See, someone asked him. He said, I have a Rebbe who's a big Talmud Chacham, but the other Gedolim don't recognize he's a big Talmud Chacham. So I'm going to be at a Suda, and my Rebbe is going to walk in, and I want to stand up for him. But what's going to happen? If I stand up for him, the other Rebbeim, it's going to give them an opportunity to make fun of him. So should I still stand up for him? So he goes to the whole thing, and maybe you should stand up because it's a chiyuv gavra, maybe you shouldn't stand up because it's a chiyuv in making your Rebbe feel honored. He said, I don't know. And then he's like, well, it's a suffix. So there's a Gemara that says when you're in a suffix about whether you should stand up or not, and he tells you exactly what to do. You should take a live chicken and throw it down the aisle, and everyone will stand up in panic, and they will realize they're standing up for your Rebbe. That's the type of tshuva you write if you are totally... You just take the Gemara and you just, like, copy and paste it where it makes no sense, right?
How drunk were these guys? Man?
Well, they wrote that. Did they take the chicken?
What? Wow. No. My point is that don't denigrate the Taz for making an obvious point, because it's worse when people make points that should be obvious and they make them wrong, right? So, right, the Taz says, look, it only works if you're near a pit. Yilech Labor, right? He said, look, someone gives you a gift and you're next to a pit and you accidentally drop it in the pit. Oy Vezmir. If you are in your house and you say, oh, it's beautiful, I need to see this by the light of the pit. One second. And you walk outside, you find the closest pit and you say, oh, perfect lighting, and you drop it in.
Oh, man.
It's like, oh, it fell in, right? The guy's
isn't
gonna.
But isn't this stuff making him more angry?
Yes, he says. By the yargish, he said. Yes, that's what he said. Don't do that.
Oh, so
no, we just said about vada yargish over kochom kavanasa v'chein yesh lavarshiv re'atur. He said. So, what is the tour saying? Shekazi v'kablenu v'lo yenavo. He said, what does it mean? Don't benefit. He says, perush sha'ovit the taz.
Okay, it's a tour. The tour a second ago.
The taz is explaining the tour.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, so the taz says,
Perush Shaovid Kochavim Lotihye Hana Alo Bimashi Kabel Yisrael Kol Shef Shalasos Bifanav Kazeh. The Eino Shomeach, do whatever you can to not be happy. Right? He says you don't have to, like, you know, go out of your way to find a pit, because that's just going to make him really angry. But, you know, there are ways of doing it, right? He said, you don't minimize hatred. How could you do it? Look, someone gives you something. You don't have to. What could you do? Right, there are middle ways.
Say you already have it.
Yeah, you say you already have it. You know, you don't act too happy. Right, you know, the polite thing to do is like, oh, thank you so much. He said, don't do that. Right, he said, you know, you say, oh, you can say, you know, that was a really nice thought, but, like, you know, you're the fourth person who got that for me this holiday. So he'll think you're a shtickle jerk. You know, he'll think you're a little bit of a jerk because you're supposed to be polite and pretend that you don't have it. But he's not going to be so angry. So he says, so just say, you know, thanks, but, you know.
I don't need a fourth, but yeah, I'll take it.
Yeah, you know, so he'll think you're a little bit of a jerk, but whatever. He said, that's what he's saying. But the Taz says, but let's say that's impossible. All that's impossible.
What?
Right, nothing's going to work. The guy drops it off your house, right? You know, he puts it on your table. He leaves it in the wrapping, and he says, oh, I'm so happy I could give you a present, right? And he walks out of the house, right? And now there's nothing you can do. What are you going to do? Call him back. Wait, come, I want you to be here. I need you to be here to see that I'm not going to enjoy it, right? I mean, whatever the case is, right?
Right.
So then what's the halacha?
Don't use it.
No, he says you can use it.
Really?
Right? He says you can use it, because there's no isra'na, right? Because, remember, what do we have? Right? I said, it's a machlokes. The way the Drisha and the Bach understood the Rambam the Torah is, look, try to avoid it. If you can't avoid it,
right,
don't use it, because now you've caused him to be moded to Avodah Zarah. Now this is an object of Avodah Zarah.
Right.
The Taz says, look, avoid it. If you can't avoid it, try to make him feel bad.
But if you can't even do that,
so now,
you did what you could,
and now what? You're not going to benefit from it, and so what? He's happy,
right?
It's like your grandmother. She gives you the present. You don't like it, but once you said, oh, grandma, thank you so much, gave her a hug, and she goes home, it doesn't matter if it sits in the bottom of your drawer, she's happy. Unless she's the really annoying type of grandmother, who every time she comes over says, are you wearing the sweater I bought you? Yeah. It's a chilly day, right? Are you wearing it? If she's that type of grandmother, then in a chanami. You might call it her displeasure later on in life. Or you might be forced to wear it in a chanami every time she comes over to visit.
So
right?
Wait, does talk about waiting for them to leave?
He says, look, try to avoid it.
The minimal wage will make them unhappy.
He says, and if you can't avoid taking it, so try to minimize the happiness.
Yeah.
And if you can't do that, so then the Taz says, it's mutter. Why? Because it's not going to help anymore. Yeah, he's happy. He's going to go thank his idol. What does it help?
It still doesn't become part of the...
So the Taz says no, and that's the machlokes. Right, but you see what's going on.
It's not like Rabbi
right, the Bach understands like the Rambam and the Tur to say that it becomes a chepta of Avodah Zarah. Because if he went and thanked his God because of you, so now this gift takes the status of Avodah Zarah. The Taz says no, it doesn't. He's happy because you accepted the gift. But you're not turning that back. Now, he went and thanked his God. This isn't a mice. This isn't an object of a desire. He didn't give you a cross.
Right.
He gave you a challah board. Right? He's just happy. And he's a frum guy. So he's going and he's going to go to Mass and he's going to say, thank you, God, for that Nachum accepted my challah board. I'm so happy to think that he's going to use my challah board. Right? It makes my day.
I got a challah board for my bar mitzvah. I had no clue what to do with
that. Baruch Hashem, I hope you held on to it and you'll use it for your wedding. Okay. Because he says, look, it doesn't matter. What's his proof? Because later on, the Gemara says that one of the other cases that's mutter because of Eva, as we mentioned, is helping a non-Jewish woman give birth. So the Gemara says that if you can't avoid it because of Eva, then you can do it, but only bischar. Meaning, if it's your job, you'll be paid.
You're paid.
You can do it, but you can't do it as a chesed, right?
What is it called? It's a certain type of doctor.
It's an OBGYN.
Oh,
right. Obstetrician, gynecologist, right? Or you're giving birth, it might just be an OB, right? An obstetrician, right? So,
He said, look, there the Gemara says you're only allowed to do it if you get paid. Right? Because if you get paid...
What do you mean?
You're not allowed to do it as a chesed.
Yeah.
Why is a sugya later on? But he says, in that case... Right, because what's the sugya there? The Gemara, again, I'm not going to go the whole sugya, but the Gemara says, look, if a non-Jew comes over and says, can you be my OB for free? And you say, no, right? So they'll say, okay. He doesn't want to, you know, OBs get paid good money. He doesn't want to be my OB for free. Fine.
Okay.
Right? What? He won't be so angry. He'll understand. They get paid pretty well. I know the bills I paid in America for when I had kids. Okay? You know...
It's not saying don't have kids.
If you're not insured and you have a baby in a standard American hospital with no complications, it'll cost you in the range of $28,000 to $30,000.
Whoa.
I'm just saying. I did have insurance. So I didn't pay that. I did have insurance, but I saw the bill, free insurance, and was very thankful that I had very good insurance.
Yeah.
Right?
Wow.
And
in Canada, it'll cost you nothing. In Israel, it'll cost you nothing.
To have a kid?
Correct.
Coach.
Correct.
It's the husband's there for.
Okay.
All right, we're gonna run this play.
But the Gemara says...
Straight down.
But the Gemara says... But the Gemara says if it's going to cause hatred... But the Gemara says... Listen. But the Gemara says sometimes it's going to cause hatred. Because what will happen? The guy says, look, I'm willing to pay good money. Right? I'm willing to pay the $30,000. I'm not insured. I'll pay you $30,000 cash. Right? And you say, I'm sorry. You're an idolater. Please leave me alone. And I...
You know, and your money.
I hope you die in childbirth. Right? Like that's going to cause hatred. Right? So the Gemara says, do it, but accept money.
So what if they hate you?
No,
the Gemara... You're going to see these people again.
Again, we'll get to Eva. We're going to have to... As we go through Masechet Avodah Zarah, we're going to have to do Eva more thoroughly. Okay? But the Taz says, it's clear, in that case we say, you're allowed to accept money. In fact, you're only allowed to do it if you're taking money.
Right.
What does that tell you? That once something's mutter because of Eva... You can now benefit from it,
right?
Because Eva weaved the Isser, right? How is he going to answer the problem? But the Gemara earlier said that if you violate the Isser, it's Usher to benefit. What's he going to say? It's very simple. What do we say? According to the majority position, why is it Usher to benefit from the item? No. Remember, that was the more lumdish one. But the simplest understanding is you did something wrong.
Right.
And therefore, only you can do it, but only you can't benefit, everyone else can. So the Taz says that's very nice. But if we said you're allowed to keep it, because of Eva, you didn't do anything wrong.
Right.
If you didn't do anything wrong, then
you can benefit.
Then it's permitted. Right? So you see the machlokes. The Bach understands the Torah, the Rambam, and saying, why can't you benefit? Because if the guy went, it was Modil Avodah Zarah, because of it, it's as if it's Avodah Zarah, and it's Asher Ba'ana. The Taz says, no. The reason it might be Asher to benefit is because you did something wrong. So you should try to avoid it. If you can't avoid it, try to minimize his joy. Right? Scowl at him. But if you can't do that, right?
There's no problem.
So then you didn't do anything wrong, so you might as well benefit.
Oh.
Right?
You did what you could.
Exactly, because the whole point is the punishment, but we said it's mutter when it's going to cause hatred. So then it was mutter, you did nothing wrong.
Right.
So benefit from it, bisimcha. So that's how the Taz understands it. Okay, if you look at the Shach, and this is the last source on this mini sugya. So he says in 7, who's the Shach? I have mentioned him before, so I will. Sifsei Kohanim, Sifsei Kohen, his name was Shabtai HaKohen Rappaport. And Ad Hayom, this is important, because most Kohanim nowadays can't trace their Yuchsin. They can't prove that they're Kohanim. What? But the Rappaports can, because they trace the lineage back to the Shach. And the Shach could trace it back, and that's why a lot of people, when they're trying to do a Pidyon HaBen LeMahadrin, they try to find a Rappaport.
A what?
A Rappaport.
What's that?
A family.
A Kohen from the family, last name Rappaport, was descended from the Shach, from Shabtai HaKohen Rappaport, because he was a Kohen Miyuchas, because he could trace back his Kohanim. And most Rappaports are...
Why is that a problem if you're trying to be a...
Because people want to do it from the best Kohen they can, because not everyone can prove they're a Kohen, they just know from their parents they were Kohanim. But if you find a Rappaport, then you know that they're Kohanim. You don't just guess they're Kohanim, you know they're Kohanim. Right, so a lot of people will try.
Any reason
so
to like, doubt? Are they like on Craigslist at this point? If everyone's looking for a Rappaport,
do we doubt Mati that he's a Kohen?
meaning no, but we don't know for sure he's a Kohen. So if people want to be really, really sure, they do it with Rappaports. And there are Rappaports around. There's a Rappaport. There's a few Rappaports in Efrat, right? I mean, from the family, from Mishpachat Rappaport of the Shach.
Not as big a deal.
And shockingly, a few of them, their name is Shabtai, right? Shocking, really, because if you were descended from the Shach, if I was descended from the Shach, I'd also want to rub that in everybody else's face. I'm just saying. The Shach was awesome. Okay, that's the other thing you should know after today, is the Shach was awesome. Okay, the Shach spent most of his day, most of his life running away from all types of horrible things, and he wrote the Shach by heart while running away when he was like your age. Okay, and it is the most authoritative Achron on Shulchan Aruch. We follow him like always, right, on Yeridea. Yes, he's awesome.
You hear that recording, people? The Shach
is awesome. Yes. I've said it before, I'll say it again. The Shach is awesome. Everyone just says the Shach is awesome. In general, when there's Machlokes Shach and Taz on Yeridea, we pass on the Shach. We usually pass on like the Shach against the Taz.
Why? Because he's awesome.
Yes. Yeah. That's right. We follow
the Shach.
Really? Do you need more of a reason? He was awesome. Okay.
We pass normally like the Shach and Taz?
Shach against the Taz.
Against the Taz.
Yeah. If it's a Machlokes Shach and Taz, we almost always pass on like the Shach.
He's objective awesome.
That's right. That's right. And the Taz and the Bach were father-in-law and son-in-law. Remember that? Yeah, just throwing these out. Okay.
I think the guys arguing with him considered it. So awesome, because their opinions
don't fall. Well, you don't want to know what the Rav says about the Taz. Okay. The Rav was like, yeah, the Shach was awesome, and the Taz... Yes. It's Hashkacha Pratis that we don't paskin like him. Because when the Shach, as the story goes, the Shach asked the Taz for Haskama, and the Taz didn't want to give him a Haskama because he realized the Shach was better than him and that it would replace him. So he didn't give him a Haskama, and the Rav said, and that was Hashkacha from Hashem, and that's why we always paskin like the Shach, because the Taz didn't want to give him a Haskama. So fine, God got him back, and now we always paskin like the Shach against the Taz. And that was why when he taught Yeridea and YU, he didn't even talk about the Taz. He just learned Shacharach Shach and just ignored the Taz, because apparently he had like a thing against the Taz, and the Shach is awesome. Okay, good. So the Taz quotes this. The Shach quotes this. Look at two lines in. So again, he quotes the Tur, he quotes the Rambam, the Beis Yosef. He says, "Aval omati al sovdato shari kozav arosh varan vasmak vagos maimini b'shem sefer atruma shas anal deich lo motzis tamushet lo havi leiva shakele shas mairi hechad efshar la'avdo b'fana v'leka eva kagon shizgenu leborach lachariyad kilu nafal mivenish lo mindas ki isa v'shas v'kaimel rekar." He says, I don't understand the problem with the Beis Yosef. He said the Rambam is just saying that if you can't avoid taking it, so then you keep it but don't benefit. The Gemara is saying if you can avoid it, that's all. So La Lacha, the Taz says you're allowed to benefit, and the Shach says you're not allowed to benefit. So by normal rules of Pesach, we probably pass another Shach. But again, none of this is really relevant because we've already seen we've written everything out of Avodah Zarah and out of Azul Moda and all of that Lamaisa. But theoretically, okay. Tomorrow we're going to do two more points. Let me just give you the heads up. Okay, tomorrow, I want you to look at the Ritva and the Meiri on the Sugya to figure out whether it's important that the person in question is an important person, right? Right. Meaning, Gemara talks about Yehuda Nesia getting a present. Is that important, or would the same thing happen if the guy gave Shimon a present? Shimon's very important, right? The guy gave me a present, that's right? Not so important, right? And the other thing is that the Gemara throws out this thing of Miskayim. Actually, 3 points I want to do tomorrow. Of Miskayim. Of whether the thing has to be something that lasts or not. Perishable, non-perishable. So I gave you a summary here in the Beis Yosef. You know, look at the basic Rishonim, but run through it. The last thing is, the Gemara until the end of the Amud, basically, says that most of the Yisurim of doing business are because of Azul Modeh. Right? We're worried that the guy is going to thank his God. Now, if you remember, according to Rashi, that's Harvacha. And therefore, according to Rashi, the whole sugya is about Azul Modeh. But remember, Rabbeinu Tam doesn't think that. Right? Rabbeinu Tam thinks Harvacha means something totally else. The Ritva thinks Harvacha means something totally different. Therefore, they think that Azul Modeh is only for some types of business, and Harvacha Lefnei for other types of business. Right? So, just look back at that first Rabbeinu Tam in the Big Tosvos, right? The Ritva, Rashi, and just sort of, you know, finish up the sugya. I want to try to finish tomorrow worse the next day. I'd really like to just finish up tomorrow and then move on to the Pesach questions. And next week we'll do the question of going to non-Jewish parties and the Ches. What?
Ben Hilchel Skiyum.
You know, that's the end of the Masechta, right?
Oh, yes.
Okay, it's the end of the Masechta. Okay.